alayhi salam, so don't get sad about it. So he unpacks this very powerful principle about what we would call like generational authority. Even converts, you know, sometimes you run into people, well, brother, I converted 50 years ago, so you need to. Okay, I need to, I get it, you converted 50 years ago, I got love for you, but you might be wrong, and I might be right. Like, there's a reality that you want to create generational authority. That doesn't mean that we don't respect the Salaf, or we don't look at the Salaf for it as an interpretive lens, of course. But what he's saying is, that should not exist to the point where you feel now, as a Muslim community in 2019, that you have no hope. Because you still follow the best of creation. And that's why Ibn Arabi, Sheikh al-Akbar, great Sheikh, in Futuhat al-Makkiyah, he said, and I'm just going to give you an appetizer for the next one, said, we need to do longer and early in the morning, I think, said after I like did a night's sleep. He said, very beautifully, he said, I came to Mecca. He said, I found the most ignorant human being I've ever seen in my life. Ibn Arabi, man, Sheikh al-Akbar. His student said, who's that? He said, I found a man with a lot of followers. Again, the neophyte, right? Excited, passionate, charismatic leader with a lot of followers. Sometimes people like weird things because they weird. Right? Can't this be normal? I had a trainer one time tell me, there's a gym down the street I used to go to called Vita Gym. He's in an article, but he's a cool guy. He said, man, if I want to like keep people as clients, I give them like powders and stuff to take, dude. I tell them, like, yeah, man, take this powder. It's going to help you get abs. And they believe me. I was like, do those powders actually give you abs? He's like, no, man, they don't. You just got to eat right and live a normal life and sleep 8 hours a day and drink a lot of water. I was like, why don't you tell them that? He said, it's not spooky. They want spooky. It's strange. Don't look for spooky. Look for practical. So Ibn Arabi said, I saw this guy, he had a lot of followers. They were making tawaf. And people were telling him, man, this sheikh is on, right? In our language. So he goes to him, if you're from the suburbs, like, the sheikh is amazing. He goes to him, meets the sheikh, introduces himself, starts to talk to him, and then he said, I realized he knew absolutely very little. He was a fake, but he could talk, he could spit. So I asked him a question, and this is why I concluded, he is the most ignorant human being I've ever met. And they said, what is it? He said, he told me there's no good in the Ummah of Muhammad. That was his call. Muslims are lost. They're all astray. Don't fall for that dawah. Inspire me to God. In a zombie, tonight's Sunday, Walking Dead, in a zombie apocalypse, right? A can of Chili's caviar. If I paint the worst picture in the world, it's easy for me now to be your savior. He said, he told me there's no good left in the Ummah of Muhammad and their Ali Salam, and there's no good left on earth. So the people were like despondent and broken. And Ibn Arabi said, Hada ashad, this is the most ignorant ahmaq, excuse my language, that's what he said, I've ever seen. So the last principle like that he talks about as he unpacks community is no matter where you are chronologically or historically, don't lose confidence. And he says things like, if you lose confidence in yourself, then realize that Allah is greater than your insecurities. Like he takes you in that direction. And then he begins to talk about unity, Muslim unity. Like, do we really have time to be fighting Shias, man? Like, yeah. It's like Sunday service. I'm here now. You pass around the pot in a minute. Thank you, brother. Love it, man. But we don't have time for this. But we've been okey-doked by so many foreign governments and our own that Sunnis, we fight ourselves. Like, let alone them. So he starts to talk about how do you frame unity without uniformity. Like, how do you frame the idea of plurality rooted in the one goal is God and the Sunnah? So we'll talk about that, inshallah, the next time we come with Center DC, alhamdulillah. But it's a very beautiful book. You're probably going to read the translation and get lost, because even as Arabic, man, it's not, it's mu'akkada, we say, like mu'akkada, like hard, cumbersome, you know? He's a brilliant writer, but he's writing like a lawyer right now. So just imagine, you pick up something in English, try to read it, it's written by a lawyer, Usama, and you're like, I understand nothing. Oh, you're not a lawyer. Yasmin is a lawyer, right? Legalese is hard for us to follow. So he's writing in legalese, but he's talking about tasawwuf and doing it. So it's very difficult. The translation is a great translation. We'll get it to you, inshallah. I'll post it on my Facebook wall or something from a guy from England. He did it as a PhD. It's like amazing, but it's deep. But it's nice. Like, and it'll be a little different than the order that we went through here. But what did we talk about today? We talked about attachments, right? Talked about what's important. Talked about wellness. Talked about the heart. And how does the science of the heart imagine that process? It imagines it first as wellness being intrinsically tied to worship. And worship is tied to sincerity. And we ended up with sincerity. And sincerity is based on what? I do what pleases what I claim to want. It's very simple. So remembrance, worship, balance, fear, hope. Right? Avoiding extremes. We talked about signs of being in a Muslim cult. Man, there's Muslim cults in America. Be careful. Because I've seen people come out of those cults. You know, it's powerful when you say, my religion is the truth. But when people have bad experiences with the truth, that can be debilitating. And then he moves into talking about fear, hope, those two wings that help us stay balanced, moderation, avoiding extremism. And then he talks about the purpose of worship, bringing us together, helping us find wholeness in worship as an opportunity, rooting things and having a relationship with Quran and Sunnah. And then he talks about how to engage the heart, protect it from showing off. When people come, like, I would leave prayer, but I don't want people to think something about me. Well, then you're doing it for the people. I'm not going to leave prayer because I don't want people. Well, you're also doing that for the people. So insincerity is not to do or not to do for people, is to do or not to do for God and not to see people. How do you get to that point? How do I get to that point? By understanding Allah's transcendence. Everything else is secondary. Transcendence becomes what I look at, what I'm focused on. I worship God as though I what? I see Him. As the Hudson. Now you understand why Sufism is a synonym of Ihsan. To get, and that doesn't mean I'm not like, well, I don't feed my kids. Why? Because I see God. That's some nonsense. That's not what he means. When I see God in life, I'm going to be more responsible, more engaged, more active, more concerned, a better person, more empathetic. Malayorham, malayorham. Who's not merciful doesn't receive mercy. Astinukum, assalamu alaikum. Be good as God was to you. So he talks about how to repel that. And then at the bottom, he gives this beautiful example about exposure and being reclusive, how those things leave that to God. Next time, inshallah, when we come back, he dedicates a portion of the text to knowledge. It's very interesting because we live in a time, especially here in America, terms, terminology are really like hotly contested. So he talks about how terms are just constructions. In human constructions, we should be patient with each other. We should not just like flip out. Someone says something inadvertently wrong, or someone is misinformed, and they make a mistake, we amputate them from our lives. No, man. People make mistakes. And then from there, he talks about what is Sufism. His definition of Sufism, I can give it to you now so it'll help you. He said, Husnul tawajjuh ila Allah is to turn to God in a righteous way, meaning through Islam. And then he talks about the community, differences, how we work together, how we should build, how we should respect differences, how we should see different passions. Not everybody wants to do the same thing. Not everybody's an activist. Not everybody's a scholar. Not everybody's a saint. Not everybody's a fashion designer. Not everybody's an IT person. Not everybody's community support, customer service, right? Everybody has a different role to play. So he talks about how a true spiritual saint appreciates all that and sees it and says, They don't feel insecure and threatened. They feel blessed by all the people around them as being blessings of Allah, seeing Allah, ihsan. So we'll stop here, inshallah. We have to leave by 7, but I'm going to turn the mic over to Usama, who's not a lawyer.
JazakAllah khairan. So thank you all for coming. Inshallah, we'll be concluding. We have a couple of brief announcements, and then we'll conclude with community dua. Wait, did you guys want to do a Q&A? Okay. So we can do like, what was that, Lauren?
All right,
so we can do a little Q&A, and then inshallah we'll start the conclusion. That now you guys can ask questions.
Yeah, we usually do more Q&A, but just today at the time we're trying to like kind of like show a little bit, and also good discussions in groups. Yeah, the book on self-care is called The Resilient Clinician. It's on Amazon. I forgot to offer. The Resilient Clinician. It's a nice book.
Yes, sir. I mean, I think, so he's saying about, you know, the call-out culture, and now people may actually even be wrong, right?
Yeah.
Maybe really wrong or inadvertently wrong, but usually that's rooted in not understanding, not knowing for most people. So he's saying, is there like a better way? Yeah, obviously the best way is to reach out to the person and like know them. Like, I should know someone. Honestly, when I think about conversion, some of the stuff I experienced as an early convert, it's incredible I'm still Muslim. Like, first time I went to the mosque, I was told, like, why you dress this way? Do you know how weird it is to go to someone you don't know, like, on 14th Street right now, in front of busboys, and you're like, yo, why you dress that way? And you don't even know them? Like, that's really weird, man. Like, I was like, why is this dude asking about why I'm dressed? He's like, brother, you need to wear a thobe. I was like, what's a thobe? He's like, it's this long dress, man, that you need to wear. So this brother went in his car and gave me a thobe. I went into the restroom, put on thobe, and came home, and my father was like, we gotta talk. like, he didn't know me. That created problems in my house. So the first thing is like, I should know the person, unless it's like really egregious, right? That's different. But like, the kind of ratchet, trivial things, right? I should know the person. Then if I know the person, I know how to get in touch with the person. If I know how to get in touch with the person, I can contact them privately and have a conversation. Like, the call-out culture is needed at times because, honestly, our nonprofits don't give people a way to find justice. Like, that's why some of that is happening. People don't feel supported. At the same time, the Prophet ﷺ, when there was a man who was drunk, came to his mosque, and people began, in Sahih Bukhari and Tirmidhi, began to abuse this man verbally, call out culture. The Prophet said, don't help shaitan destroy him. Like, is there redemption for people in Islam? So if I'm going to rebuke someone, one of the foundations, usually, in Islamic activism, is there is a door of redemption. When Abu Sufyan and his wife did what they did, a'udhu billah, Allah still says in the Quran, فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If they truly repent and they truly become better, they're Muslim. Even though they're bad people, redemption is there for them. I have a problem with like, we may be rebuking people in a way that goes beyond what religion is saying, man. And then we push them out. And then we create the Ayan Hirsi Adiz, and, you know, sister in Virginia, I forgot her name, who now become like ostracized, and being ostracized leads to like being an enemy, and being an enemy, then it just continues to grow. So I think first is like, man, I should know people. And then have a conversation. And then like establish some kind of understanding. Maybe I'm wrong too. Like if I don't talk to them, I might be wrong. So if I talk to them, I may learn. You know what I mean? So I think that personal, that online stuff's weird, man. No? Talk to people. Eunice.
Alaykum.
Salam.
Really love that you're here.
That's good to see you, man.
Talking about personal conversations, it is increasingly difficult to show your personal relationship or personal experiences to a community that you always have to constantly prove that you are, that you belong in that community. And then when you find a community that you feel like you belong to and you want to be around them, you know, and then but then there's, you don't have it, you know, it's far, what have you, it's not as easy to access as, or like you disappear.
Got a job, bro.
I got you, bro. What I meant is like,
you should talk to me first before you call me out.
Finding different communities, right? But then what happens is that it's like the difficulty of not being jaded with the Muslim community when you are there simply just to want to worship Allah is difficult. Even though when it's just alone, it's simpler. But then when it's like, when you come in with a crew, with a blended family, you can very come into a place, it's very hard to find a spot where like, I just want to show up to a masjid and then ask like, how long have you been Muslim? Kind of conversation. Like, how are you married? Or are you a taxi driver? It's like, it's very weird. And then the weeks after.
Like, what's wrong with being a taxi driver? You know what I mean? Like,
I know. And as I'm getting rides, like, no, I just asked you. Like, oh, okay. So, but then like, and then on Juma, like, you can talk back to them, and then, but then on the next day when we showed up, it's like, hey, you belong here or not? It's like, it's strange. It's like, coming, my relationship to a masjid is like, either I'm giving khutbah or I'm being told like, hey, you Muslim enough or not. It's very weird. And then like, and how do I personally make a community where, you know what, we don't need to prove ourselves to be here. And then, but then the places that's like that is tend to be third place spaces that doesn't like masjids. So I'm like, but I love masjids. I grew up in masjids. I just want you guys here. You know, but then it's strange. And then it just keeps increasing the more like suburban nature of my life. So, and if I'm activist in some spot, like, oh, I'm activist, I'm probably the only guy. And that's doing activism, the only Muslims are doing this. If I'm doing that, but if I go to the masjid, it feels like my own guys, I'm the only one that feels that, hey, I'm, like, we don't have to be all alike, you know, if the life is mercy, what have you. Everything you say validates my thought, alhamdulillah, but then it's like, within my daily life, it's very difficult to find a spot where, hey, we're okay here. You know, and then and I want that spot to be a masjid, but then I want to make that for myself, for my own community, like, hey, we want to have a spot for ourselves too. But then isn't that creating our own little, like, growing up a cult, essentially? Like, how do you solve the situation where people feel like, hey, this is a place for me, and then you should come here, and I don't understand, like, community growth, just keep, yeah, because the situation's been happening the same, like, you mentioned, like, when you were growing up, yeah, as, you know, maybe converted, what have you, that's the same situation today, hasn't really changed, and then you find pockets, but they're not as convenient to get to, you know, so, it's not, my question will be, how am I, like, saying, like, yeah, coming, like, yeah, we're doing for a lot, inshallah, be okay, but sometimes you don't see the result, and you're constantly being berated by things that outside of control, and I want to keep coming back. It's not your fault that you're ignorant, but this is almost our message. I want to keep coming. But it's like the struggle of keep coming back, the situation just changes. Like, you know, and then it's different group of people all the time, and then proving that, it's like, and it's like, how am I going to keep doing this until my parents, until my children are grown? They have to be the same again. They have to keep proving themselves. They have to measure up. It's difficult. So I'm sorry. then become a rat. It's all good.
I'm smiling because this is how, mashallah, so, like, it's always, you're always so passionate, alhamdulillah. But tucked into what he said was trying to manage a blended family. You said it really quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm in a blended family, right?
Yeah.
Where you go to certain communities and you're two different ethnicities.
Yeah.
So if I could just quickly just, I think I got what you're coming with. First of all, like, the word ummah is the outcome of a deliberate effort. Ummah isn't something that just happens. Like, we think that. We read Quran and Hadith and we think, well, the ummah was established, so we've been like ummah riding, community riding since then. No. Community is an outcome of a deliberate process, right? That doesn't stop. I honestly don't have a problem with people creating communities, third spaces, whatever the word is,
right,
if it's best for their iman. And this becomes more tangled, and you know this, when you start having kids. My daughter, my oldest daughter, did not know about race as a construction until I sent her to a Muslim school. She had no idea that she was like mixed parents and she's Asian and why you got straight hair. And that's something that she never encountered in where, how we raised her. Public school is a whole nother beast. But when she went kindergarten and first grade, she got her hijab snatched off her head and was made aware that racially she was different than other people. And it was like the weirdest conversation I had with a five-year-old about race, like critical race theory at five, and then a white daddy, right? So it was weird, but then I just realized, like, I just gotta continue to work for what's best. I think the second thing is you gotta constantly remind people, like, this is not a cult, this is not a group. Like, so I know when Center DC, from our early inceptions, like, we say Masjid Muhammad is our mosque. First Hijra is our mosque. We didn't do Tarawih. We don't replicate, and correct me now if I'm wrong, we don't replicate things that other institutions are already doing. We want to partner with institutions. So game night, we about that game night. So Eunice, that's a struggle that's never going to leave you and never going to stop. You're not going to find a perfect community. It will never happen.
Yeah.
It's impossible, right? It's not fun. I'm sorry to say that. But it's just the mechanisms and the makeup of our community is so different. It just demands resilience. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, no one is given anything better than resilience. And then number three is always be an ally to what's right. Like, if you think you and I got a bad, talk to girls, man. Like, talk to women in the Muslim community. Like, we're in the first class lounge, bro. We're just complaining because the food is cold. No, seriously, right? So then I'm talking to myself. Be an ally to people as well. So I'm not only complaining about the problem and being part of the problem. And if I'm donating to nonprofits, I'm not donating so I can have a voice in my own personal agenda. But if I know that people aren't being treated well in this nonprofit, I'm going to say, listen, I gave you $15,000 over the last year. I need to talk to you about some stuff, man. And if they're not going to do it, then I'm going to support people who do it. There's nothing wrong with it.